Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand hits a deep to left field! That's way back! Shoot, score! And it's a gunner! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go! It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Rabbi with you on KMOX. It is the Wednesday, May 16th, 2018 edition of the program. Happy to be with you tonight until 10 o'clock. We have a busy evening ahead of us after Cardinals Day baseball, 7-5. Cardinals beat the Twins, 3-3 on the road trip. Finally get some offense. It is one thing they have not had lately. So we'll talk baseball coming up. Here's what we've got. 6:30, Kyle McClellan going to join us. We'll talk Cardinals and more with Kyle. That comes your way in about 15 minutes. 7 o'clock hour, we will chat a little Preakness with Mark Reardon. He was at the Derby. He's going to jump in. We'll see what other nonsense we get into. And then we'll hear from Bob Gibson. Dan McLaughlin is inside Cardinals Nation from 8 until 9 tonight. He's with Tommy Pham, but also an incredible visit with Bob Gibson as Dan is working on a really, really, really cool set of stuff that's coming up that we're going to tell you about as well. And it's Bob Gibson pitching rubber night on Friday at Busch Stadium. So that's in the 7 o'clock hour. Then Dan with Tommy Pham for Inside Cardinals Nation. 9 to 10, it is the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Hour. Dan Reardon going to be in with me. We will talk Players Championship. We will talk what's ahead for Tiger. We will talk the upcoming U.S. Open. So all of that and more tonight on the program. If you want to get involved, plenty of time. Take your phone calls at 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. If you want to talk Cardinals, I invite you to do so. Phone lines are open. You can also tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us, tweet us at KMOX Sports. That's where you get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
I've just been listening to you guys and laying in bed and falling asleep.
Mike Anderson's my guy!
I ain't going to tell you about my romance, man.
Here in the KMOX studios, it is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line. All right, 7-5 Cardinals over the Twins. We heard Matheny last night when talking about the offense and waiting and waiting and waiting for it to come. This is what he said.
I got guys that can, grind. And, yeah, we got some power too. I mean, but we've got guys that can get on base, and that's part of the deal. Get on base, drive the ball to the middle of the field. If it jumps over the fence, it does. If not, we're going to have guys on base who are going to be able to score. Got to get on base. We've done that. I mean, we faced some great pitchers in this league. We've been able to figure out a way to stay in the game, keep fighting, and run them out and take it out on the bullpen or to capitalize on mistakes. It's just a short run here. I don't think we haven't clicked this season. We really haven't for an extended period of time. We're not in July. We're still early in the season. It's going to come around. Until it does, it's just going to make us keep having to answer questions like these. And I get it because I see where you guys are coming from. I see what you're seeing too. But I don't think you see what I see as far as what this offense is going to do. And it's a whole lot of just hot air until it happens. I get it. So it is what it is right now. And all we have to do is we got to fix it.
That was Mike Matheny last night saying it's a whole lot of hot air in terms of the talking about the offense until it changes. Well, step in the right direction today. And, man, Lance Lynn has just been gotten off to a really, 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 really rough start so far. He would easily be the weakest link in the Cardinals' rotation right now if he was with the team. So maybe you avoided a bit of an albatross there. But you pound out seven runs, you hold on after Miles Michaelis, really for the first time this year, was not sharp. And you come home 3-3 on the road trip and 23-17. So still six games above 500 despite the offensive issues that you've had. But if you could just score a couple more runs in some of these games, you'd be in great shape. Because the starting pitching has been great. It's been really good. Howard, what's up, man?
Hi. Comment is that it seems curious to me that people like Wainwright and relief pitcher Gregerson, I forgot his name exactly, and Lyons, these guys go into a game, they're warming up for a game, and they're feeling fine. And then several pitches after they get into the game, they're on the DL. How does that keep happening to Cardinal pitchers?
Well, I think we see it happen around baseball. I think that warming up and throwing a bullpen or throwing it 60% in between innings is a lot different than getting on a mound and throwing 100% and facing batters and dealing with stressful situations and throwing off-speed pitches and throwing your full arsenal. I think that that takes a toll on anyone. It's not really what the human body was designed to do. And I think, like in Wainwright's case, he got hurt. He spent time in the DL. He said he felt good. But, like, he came back, and he only made one rehab start. And he threw, like, 50 pitches. So is that enough to actually ramp back up to big league conditions? There's a big difference in throwing a bullpen while you're on the DL, saying everything feels good, throwing 50 or 60 pitches at AA where you're not worried about the outcome, you're not worried about winning the game, you're just worried about how you feel and feeling okay, and then trying to do it in the big leagues when your team's depending on you. I think that they're completely different scenarios, and that has a lot to do sometimes with the outcomes that we see that sometimes lead to guys not feeling right and then missing time.
Yeah, well, it seems like...
What do you think?
What you're describing sounds like, as far as not feeling under any pressure when he's at Springfield, sounds like more or less what happens at spring training, isn't it?
You're just trying to ramp up. You're just trying to ramp up and get your body right. And, you know, a lot of these guys, if you're big leaguers with an established track record, I get it. You don't want to be on a long rehab assignment. Maybe Wainwright should have had a couple of more rehab starts where you go 50 pitches, then you go 70, then you go 90. Maybe you go to AAA, deal with, you know, different conditions. But it happens, man. He's a guy who's had a bunch of procedures. He's dealt with a lot of injuries over the last few years. And, you know, it happens. It happens around baseball. I know that we always play the game in the winter like, all right, we've got 11 pitchers and only five spots in rotation. Injuries happen. And yeah, it's very rare that you get through even the first couple of months of the season without guys and without significant guys in your rotation or in your staff landing on the disabled list. Look at Clayton Kershaw.
Like, he's for the Cardinals look more at Clayton, than
no, I don't think that. I just think that we pay more attention to it with the Cardinals. I mean, look, Clayton Kershaw's on the DL right now, right? Like, he's a guy who his mechanics have been the same way for a really, really long time, and now he's missed significant time over the last 2 years with significant injuries. It's just part of the game, I think.
I understand. All right. Well, it just seemed curious to me that it seems like it's happened more.
When it rains, it pours, and I don't know if it happens more to the Cardinals, but certainly lately it seems like it's happened in bunches, doesn't it?
Sure seems so, yeah.
Yeah. Howard, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Paul on Sports Open Line before Kyle McClellan. Hey, Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chris. Not too much. Great show, as always. And I just want to compliment you on your broadcasting. I think that you are a natural, and you've done it just fabulously so far up in the booth with the opportunities that you've gotten. And I bet it's been a blast.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. It has been, yeah.
Secondly, I want to... just throw out there, you know, I wanted to see if you thought this could be, as we're all looking for, you know, the turning over of the leaf as especially with Dexter Fowler and maybe even Matt Carpenter contributing today because truly the bottom line is we don't need a great offense. We don't even need a good offense. We just need an average offense, and we to go with the best pitching in Major League Baseball, in my opinion, save maybe the Nationals, and we will dominate. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comments.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words, man. It's getting a chance to do some of the broadcasting down at spring training. It's been unbelievable. Really, really fun. I appreciate it. Earlier in the season, even without Carpenter and Fowler hitting, you had Yadi hitting well. You had, you know, Martinez, Pham, all those guys, DeJong. And you were still in, like, the top third in most of the categories in the National League. That has not happened lately. And I don't know if it exactly coincides over the last couple of weeks with Yadi being out, but certainly the catching position has become essentially an automatic out. Not to be cruel about it, but next to the pitcher, that is a really rough 1-2 punch to have at the bottom of the order. So you hope now that you are able to get more out of Carpenter, get more out of Fowler. We keep saying this, I know, but I believe in numbers, and I believe in sample size, and I believe that those guys are going to eventually play better. I know you can't say this forever. And you could say the flip side, too. You could say that Tommy Pham, like, well, he's got to come back down to earth at some point, and he hasn't. So I guess it can work both ways, but you just keep hoping and waiting. Now, that doesn't mean that while they're trying to find it, Carpenter should hit second. I liked what you did today. That doesn't mean that while he's trying to find it, Dexter Fowler should hit second. Like, let the guys that are getting on base get on base. Let them get the most at-bats over the course of a game. So I would still hit Pham first. Then you can have Bader if he's in the lineup, or DeJong. Like DeJong hitting second today. Then Jose Martinez. Then Ozuna. Then Jerko. Like, I would stack it like that, with some respect paid to how guys get around the bases. But you're right about the pitching. It's been so good. And if the offense can just get to, like, league average, your 7 losses in your last 15 games, you've scored 8 combined runs. Can't win like that. That's what we saw last year and the year before and the year before. Your starting rotation has the third best ERA in all of baseball, 3.13. Yet, the Astros, who have the best ERA, have 21 wins by their starters. You have 16. The Nationals have 19. You have 16. I mean, I know that can be deceiving, but you're not automatically winning some of these games that you should. When you go out and give up a run or 2 runs, you're starting pitching, you feel pretty good. Now, the offense, again, I saw a stat that Len Casper put out a couple of weeks ago, and this shows you how much offense drives winning in Major League Baseball. This, to me, is one of the most eye-opening stats in terms of what it means to hit home runs, what power means in the game right now, and how valuable it is. Len asked his followers, what is more valuable and when do you have a better chance to win? If you have a quality start or if you hit a 3-run home run. And essentially, I'll have to pull up the exact number, but it was like you've got a 15 or 20% more chance of winning the game if you hit a 3-run home run at some point in the game compared to a quality start. And that is a staggering number. It really is. Let's take a quick break. We will come back. We'll get to Rob's phone call. Then we'll bring in Kyle McClellan. That is What's on Tap, sponsored by Midwest Money.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You play to win the game.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
If it's all right,
going to visit with Kyle MacLellan in a moment. It is Sports of the Line. Chris Raby with you. Mike Anderson in the house. Tommy Pham with Danny Mac from 8 until 9. Let's talk to Rob, though, before we chat with Kyle. Rob, what's up, man?
Thanks, Chris, for taking my call. I just want to point out the difference that Matt Carpenter got three hits today. And imagine if both he and Colton Wong had been hitting up to par, say in the high 200s. I mean, this Cardinal team would be easily four games up in first place. They are that good. And so my question is that the weakness in their farm system? I mean, their farm system has produced added outfielders, added pitching, but I don't see any new faces in the infield department.
Well, Paul DeJong?
Well, yeah, but he came up last year. I'm talking about this year.
Well, that is one area where they tried to really focus on and address. And one guy that I believe, even though he is not on the 40-man roster, you will see very, very, very soon, is Max Schrock. He is a second baseman. He is left-handed hitting. He's hitting like 320 or something right now in AAA for Memphis and was acquired as part of the Stephen Piscotty deal. And again, for all that we've talked about and what a great life move that was, it was a baseball move for the Cardinals as well because they needed to thin out some of the outfield and they acquired in Schrock more infield depth. So I think he's one of the next guys you will see. I think you would have seen more of Luke Voit if Jose Martinez hadn't played the way he's played. You may have seen Patrick Wisdom by now if Jed Jerko hadn't played the way that he played. And then after that, there is a whole bunch of guys that are middle infielders who have been placed on the 40-man roster over the last couple of years to protect them from the Rule 5 draft. Names that you hear during spring training, like Edmundo Sosa and, guys at double A and guys at single A that I think you will see over the next few years, but there just hasn't really been room at the inn recently. A lot of those guys were blocked theoretically by Aledmys Diaz, including Paul DeJong, but we saw what happened to him, and I think DeJong's a pretty good example. I think Wong is a pretty good example. Wong grades is maybe the best defensive infielder, if not player in all of baseball right now, so you hope the bat comes around. But you're right, that was an area of weakness, and I think that's part of the reason that they made the Piscotty deal with Oakland to pick up two infielders in Munoz and Max Schrock. Tommy Edman is another guy who's at Springfield who was hurt a little bit during spring training that you will see at some point soon because he is another player that they're very, very high on. But, you know, some of these guys are still making their way up through the pipeline right now.
Can I ask one more thing? Adam Wainwright.
Yes, thank you for asking.
His elbow's done. So does he have any value as a middle reliever, say, you know, a couple of innings and that's it?
I don't know if we know that his elbow's done, but what we do know, because neither you nor I have seen any images of it, but what we do know, Rob, without question, is that he's got to be healthy. Like, before anything else happens, before we talk about his role, whether it's starter, reliever, whatever, he's got to be healthy. So that is step one, and then you figure out the role. But I think that has to come with a longer rehab assignment. Maybe a more honest in terms of outcome rehab assignment rather than just one start at Springfield. And then I think you figure out the role. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Yeah, it's there's some infield depth coming. I really believe that. All right, Kyle MacLellan joins us, brought to you by Ameren Illinois. And Kyle, we find you, what, at the start of a busy night? You're at gymnastics/ninja right now and then going to T-ball?
That's what you do, man. You got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. You just feel like you're a taxi for him, right?
You know, you think about some of the great two-sport athletes, Brian Jordan with Cardinal Connection, Deion Sanders, maybe even go all the way back to some of the old days, some of the true athletes in American history. And then you think Rhett MacLellan going from ninja class to T-ball. That's quite the 1-2 left-right combo.
It is. It is. As long as we can keep them that path, I feel like we're good. But, you know, I'm really driving him hard to make sure that he is going to be in the same category as Deion Sanders and Brian Jordan.
give me the scouting report on Red. If you were going to pitch him, how would you pitch him?
You know, we just got to – I had him working on the tee for a while. I think just to throw out there, in all seriousness –
He seems very aggressive, like he chased a lot of first pitches.
Well, one of the biggest things I think that goes overlooked in kids and in baseball is work on the tee. I've seen Albert Pujols take thousands of swings off the tee before he gets in there. So we really had him hitting off the tee for the last year, and then I just started recently pitching him to him. And he went out in his game the other day and hit the first two pitches in his at-bats off the coach. So I don't know, man. I don't think he has a weakness. He's really shown the ability to hit the ball the other way, pull the ball down to first base, and he's been on base both times. So I don't know if you can get him out.
Good exit velocity, good launch angle, spray charts look strong, all fields.
Yeah, we've been hammering the launch angle and, you know, spray chart. Every night before he goes to bed, we've been drilling him on that.
It's crazy with how much information there is at the big league level, but even, you know, for youth players and coaches, and whether you've played the game at the highest level like you or if you haven't, you know, just keep it simple, right? It's amazing how far that can go, especially when you consider they're kids.
Yeah, keep it fun. It's one of my biggest complaints I have about youth sports is the parents ruin it. It's so competitive and they're living through their kids, and I'm seeing it now as we're getting involved in it. It's frustrating. I don't coach. It's hard for me with the kids at this level. It becomes more frustrating than anything for me, so I kind of sit back and watch and observe, and it's just difficult to watch some of the parents sometimes. So just keep it fun. I mean, it's not the kids aren't going to go pro. That they're 6 years old. Don't make them do all these things because you think that you're giving them best chance. Let them have fun and let them play with their kids and other kids and learn a lot of life skills through sports.
You could rake a little in high school. You could swing the bat, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody can hit in high school. Even you could hit in high school, maybe. Maybe not.
No, at fantasy camp. You know, I was thinking about this today, though, because watching the couple of games in Minneapolis and watching the DH, I know it's such a hot-button issue and such a point of contention, especially for National League fans and Cardinal fans, but as a pitcher, and now as someone who watches the game and, you know, you comment on the game and are invested in the well-being of the game, have your thoughts changed at all? As a pitcher, did you want to hit, or would it be nice to be in the American League or have the DH and, you know, not have to wear spikes on days that you weren't pitching and know that you weren't going to have to deal with hitting? Nice to have the pitcher when you're facing him, but has your thought process changed at all on that, Kyle?
No, it hasn't. When I went to the American League, I missed the pitcher hitting. I missed the strategy that went into it. I think it's more fun for the fans to sit back and kind of armchair quarterback and figure out what moves need to be made, when you take the pitcher out. When you don't have the pitcher coming up in the lineup, you know, your pitchers go till you want to take them out. But sometimes you're forced to take a guy out earlier than you want to, or you have to go up and send them up for an at-bat. And then the strategy of trying to get a bunt down, it's not easy. It is very, very difficult to bunt at this level when those guys are throwing those types of pitches and the velocity that they do. And so there's an art to it. It's a sport. It's and you take a lot of pride in it and going up there and getting the job done. So for me, I'm a National League guy all the way. Grew up watching it. I would really be disappointed if Major League Baseball made that switch. I think at some point they will, to an American League style on both sides. I hope they keep it National League and American League.
That's another thing that I think we take for granted, execution, right? Like, why can't you get a bunt down? Well, because the other guy's throwing 95 and is trying to not let you get a bunt down. And we hear that so much now with the shift. I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but when teams are aggressively shifting, they're not doing it just out of nowhere. They're doing it based on thousands of innings of data, and they're doing it to try and gain a competitive advantage. And the question is, well, why don't you just hit the ball the other way? Why don't you just drop a bunt down the other way? I'll ask you, as a former player, knowing how hard it is to execute at the big league level, easier said than done, or why don't more guys do that against the shift?
Well, I think you got to pick your spots. And so if there's a guy on first base and you bring up Matt Adams, for instance, he was one of the first guys that we really saw, I would say, heavily for the Cardinals back years ago where everybody shifted. I don't know if anybody before that we really saw that heavy of a shift. I could be wrong, just thinking off the top of my head. But say Matt Adams is up there with a guy on first base and one out. if you're the opposing team, you would love for him to lay down a bunt and just hit a base hit. What you're trying to prevent is him hitting a double in the gap or a double down line and scoring that run. So I think guys should do it more in situations where just to keep guys honest or to maybe just put it on the record that, hey, he will show bunt and they might not shift as much. But look, when there's a guy in scoring position or a potential to drive a run in or hit a ball over a fence, I want those guys swinging, hitting into the shift, whatever it is, but they're there because they can hit the ball out of the park or drive the ball, and that's what you want. But maybe find your spots and lay it down. I know guys mess with it in spring all the time. See if you can lay one down, and it might just change the approach in the next few weeks the way teams go against you if they know that you're willing to do it.
You know, it's crazy. Albert Pujols has played 2,600 career games. He has one sacrifice bunt, and it was in his rookie year. Jed Jerko, they shifted against him a week or so ago. He's played 640 games, 2,400 plate appearances. He never has laid down a sacrifice bunt. Joey Votto, one of the greatest in modern history of getting on base, has never sacrificed bunted in 1,400, almost 1,500 games. Some guys just don't do it.
Well, and I mean, take Jed Jerko out of there, but Albert Pujols and Joey Votto, I don't want those guys playing. I don't care if nobody's on.
Oh, of course. I'm just saying literally once over the course of 1,500 or 2,500 games.
Yeah. Well,
it's just random that it's never happened.
When you're that good, just swing it. Oh, yeah. See what happens.
Kyle McClellan with us, brought to you by Ameren, Illinois. Let's talk about the last couple of days and yesterday. Offense hard to come by recently when the Cardinals lose. They're only scoring about a run, but man, mm-hmm. Jack Flaherty was impressive yesterday. Wasn't he? What stood out?
Yeah, well, just the fact he just looks like he belongs. I mean, we saw it a lot in spring training. He's a guy that put himself on the map in spring as being the guy to go to if something happened, and now you put yourself in a position to be that guy. You got some injuries. You come up. How do you handle it? Now there's a little bit more pressure because you know, hey, I might stick around if I have a good start here and perform well. And he goes out there and does. He just, like I said, looks like he belongs. That slider is so good. Attacking guys with a fastball. And let's not forget how young he is. I mean, this guy was in high school not too long ago. It's progressed very quickly through the system and has handled everything very, very well. So a lot of expectations and a lot of excitement in what Jack Flaherty can bring to this team.
Yeah, I really want to see now what's in store for him, how long he lasts up here. Obviously, has a lot to do with Carlos, who we know won't make his start this weekend. So John Gant will go, also Adam Wainwright. But this stuff happens, man. You're always going to have injuries, especially when it comes to your pitching staff.
Yeah, and when you have them, they seem to come in bunches. And you better be able to deal with them, because if you have a bad stretch, a bad 3 weeks or a month where you're just kind of don't really have any options and don't have depth in the minor leagues, you're going to find yourself out of it really quick. So these guys coming up, being able to step up and give them quality starts and give them a chance is huge in keeping them in this thing.
We're going to see Luke Weaver tomorrow. I know he had a great stretch as nice as anyone in baseball last year. We've seen him scuffle a little bit this year. The expectations were so mm-hmm. high for Luke going into this year, Kyle. And again, I think it almost goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how hard it is to execute and how sometimes I think we take for granted with young, talented players what that leap is like in reality from minor leagues to being an everyday or a rotation or a, you know, bullpen guy consistently over the course of a few years in the big leagues.
Yeah, it is. And for him, you just thought that natural progression was to continue to grow and be, you know, the top of a rotation guy, a one or two guy here for the Cardinals and kind of push Carlos Martinez a little bit. I thought he had the possibility of doing that. I still do. I still think he can be a really, really good number two for this team. He's just got to get back to locating his fastball. His last start was better. He kind of got his groove there in the second part of the game for sure, but it was a better start. And the thing you notice with him is he had, what, four, five starts there where he was kind of out of whack, and then hopefully he's back on a better trajectory now. But what happens with those really elite pitchers, they might have one bad start, and then they're right back to dominating and right back to where they need to be. With him, it's taking a little longer, and that's part of the learning process and figuring it out and making those adjustments. It's just a part of him developing at this level.
Alex Reyes, it appears, will go this weekend for Springfield, then perhaps a start for Memphis, and then he could be ready to go. Maybe the fact that you signed Holland despite his issues, but the fact that Reyes was moved down to the 60-day and was kind of moved along a little bit more slowly was a good thing because he's ramping up. He has struck out 18 and 8 and a third, albeit granted at Palm Beach and Peoria. But so much excitement, Kyle. And, man, as injuries continue to happen, what a nice addition he could be, whether it happens in a couple of weeks or whenever it does happen in the rotation.
Yeah, it would be huge to get him back and to get him out there and just have him healthy. So you want to monitor, obviously, these next few starts, see how they go, see how he feels the next day, how he feels in his bullpens and all that. Because at some point, you're going to have a fatigue set in. Almost everybody that goes through it has a little dip. But what he's showing and showcasing in his rehab, the throwing 100 miles an hour, his slider has been so good. He's just dominating. And so it'll be exciting to get him in the fold and see what he can do and get him into now. Isn't it funny how quickly things change? I mean, literally a week ago, we're talking about, man, what are we going to do? We got so many starting pitchers. Who's going to go where? Now, all of a sudden, you lost two of them. You lost Adam Wainwright and Carlos Martinez. You got Jack Flaherty up, and you're kind of itching for Reyes to be able to jump into this rotation now.
Kyle McClellan, we got the baseball scouting report. Give me the quick ninja scouting report. Very
tools-y. I don't even know how.
Lots of tools.
How to give that. Try to just keep in his attention for an hour during ninja classes is you might be able to distract him easily. Let's just put it that way.
Headband stay on?
No headband today. We're not rocking the headband.
Oh,
we
no.
Got to get ready for T-ball. Yeah, we can't mess up the hair for, you know, TVs and.
Yeah, it's kind of LeBron thing. Sometimes headband, right. Sometimes comes off in the middle of the game, just kind of how
That's
he feels.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Kyle, you are always brought to us by Ameren Illinois. A smart thermostat gets you cash back and can save you up to 15% on your energy bill. Energy savings made easy with Ameren Illinois. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of ninja class and T-ball tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow before baseball.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
All right, quick break. A couple more thoughts on the offense on KMOX next.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
On KMOX.
I got my front flips when every father may a rapper jump ship. I guess that's why they call it where I stay. Clean up the streets so my daughter can have somewhere to play. I'm the blueprint to a...
All right, welcome back. Wrapping up the 6 o'clock hour. Thank you to Kyle McClellan. Phone number is 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We can take your phone calls if you want to keep talking Cardinals. Going to visit with Mark Reardon coming up, talking a little Preakness and more. Danny Mac coming up as well. Can't wait to hear Danny Mac with Tommy Pham from 8 until 9. Those have been awesome conversations. That is inside Cardinals Nation, but phone lines open. Join the party. Today, Dave Sinclair, Lincoln at Ford Sports with 9. Chris Rebby with you. Mike Anderson's my guy here in the KMOX studios. 1 hour in the books. And we are hanging out until 10 o'clock. Back after this. Here's Chance.
All around me, they keep me surrounded.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.